We're going to hear from the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Bet Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, Kol ha-ra'uyin le-mizbeach, v'lo le-berek ha-bayit, something that's donated to Hekdesh, that is ra'uy for the mizbeach, but not for berek ha-bayit, or le-berek ha-bayit, v'lo le-mizbeach, something that is ra'uy for the treasury, the usage or utility of the Mikdash itself, but not to go on the mizbeach, v'lo le-mizbeach, v'lo le-berek ha-bayit. There are some things that are donated to the Mikdash that are not ra'uy for the mizbeach, to be placed in the mizbeach, and they're not even ra'uy to be used towards the maintenance and upkeep of the Mikdash. So Mo'alim Ba, in all these cases, there is a Din HaMi'ilah, Ketzad. Examples of these different categories that we just laid out. Higdish Bor Malei Mayim, a bor that is full of water. So over here, we have an example of an item that is Ra'oi the Berek HaBayit, something that could be used for the upkeep, maintenance of Berek HaBayit. Rashi points out, it can be used, the water, to mix the cement or the plaster that's going to be used in the Mikdash. On the other hand, the water itself is not Ra'oi to be put on Mizbeach, not even for Nisach HaMayim, because that was brought from the Shiloach, and has to be from Mayim Chaim, and has to be from a live spring. So here you have an item that is Ra'oi for Berek HaBayit, but not Ra'oi the Mizbeach. The next example is Ashpot Mleot Zevel. You have garbage dumps full of garbage, or full of fertilizer. So over here we're talking about an example of something that is not Ra'oi the Mizbeach, can't be used on Mizbeach, it's also not Ra'oi for Berek HaBayit. Shovach Malei Yonim. We have a dove coat that is full of birds. So the yonim are ra'ui l'mizbeach. The shovach is obviously not ra'ui l'mizbeach. Ilan, malei peirot. You have a tree that is full of fruits. And sadeh melea asavim, or a field that is full of vegetation. Now in terms of the ilan malei peirot, Rashi over here says something interesting. It says, Amrli Rebbe, da'a ilan hu gefen, ra'ui l'mizbeach. We're talking about here is a vine, a vineyard, that was donated to the Mikdash. Tosafot also adds in the possibility of it being an olive tree. And it's good for Nisuch HaYayin. Tosafot talks about it being good for the Shemen, for the Minchat Nisachim. So it's Ra'oi the Mizbeach. On the other hand, it's something that is not Ra'oi the Berek HaBayit, because the wood from the grapevines is not strong wood. It's not useful for anything in terms of the building or maintenance of the Mikdash. And so too with the olive tree, the wood is not the type of wood that they would use within the structure of the Mikdash. And in terms of Bikurim, it might be Ra'oi for Bikurim, both the Geffen and the Zayit, but the Bikurim themselves don't end up on the Mizbeach. So that's not an example of something that ends up on the Mizbeach. Tosfot says that the reason why the Ilanot, by the Peirot, we do not use them for Berek HaBayit is because that will cause a Hefzed to Hekdesh. The trees are worth more while they are still planted and can produce fruit than cutting them down in order to use them for building materials. Therefore, Hekdesh will never cut them down to use them for building materials, and that's why these objects are only Ro'i the Mizbeach, and not Ro'i the Berek HaBayit. Asadeh Malea Asavim, then it's not Ro'i for Mizbeach, and not Ro'i for Berek HaBayit. There's nothing in this field that's going to go on the Mizbeach, this vegetation, and the Sadeh itself is also not Ro'i to do something for Berek HaBayit. So over here, you have different examples of what we saw in the beginning of the Mishnah. You have examples of things that are not Ro'i, not for Berek HaBayit, and not for Mizbeach, including Sadeh Malea Asavim, and the Ashpam Lea Zevil. On the other hand, we have items that are Ra'ui the Berek HaBayit, but are not Ra'ui the Mizbeach. Examples of that were the Bor Malei Mayin, Bor full of water, where the water could be used for the building materials of the Mikdash, but it wasn't something that was Ra'ui the Mizbeach. And lastly, we have examples of items that are Ra'ui the Mizbeach, but not Ra'ui the Berek HaBayit, and that is the Ilan Malei Peirot, the tree that's full of fruits, because the fruits are good to be used for the Nisuch HaYayin, for the Minchat Nisachim, for things that go on the Mizbeach. On the other hand, the wood is not useful towards the maintenance of the Mikdash. As well as doves and the dove coat. The doves themselves are Ro'i the Mizbeach. The dove coat is not Ro'i for anything that will be used in the Mikdash. In all of these cases, then we are Mo'alin Behem. You are Mo'el by the item itself. U'b'ma'sha tocha. And what is contained within it. That you can be Mo'el on the items themselves. Over here, the boar, the ashpa, the ilan, all sadeh, all of these items, you're Mo'el in them. Plus, you are Mo'el Mash B'tocha, whatever's growing in it, whatever's contained within it. That means that the water that's in the bor, the yonim that are in the shovach, the peirot that are on the ilan, the asavim that are on the sadeh, all of these items, there's Mi'ila both on the primary object, as well as whatever is contained within them or growing on them. The question Tosfot raises it by a bor, what type of Mi'ila is there? So the Rashbam suggests over here that it's a case where you can stick things in there, you can store things down there, and therefore it has value. But Tosfot questions that because we know that when it comes to Milah, it does not apply to things that are mechuber the karka, attached to the ground. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests that what we're talking about here is that he took a row of bricks or something out of the bor that is used towards the building, and that's why we have a din of Milah by the bor. On the other hand, a mikdish bor, He was madish a boar, and then after he was already madish it, it filled with water. Hashba, he donated a dump. And then afterwards it filled up with dung or garbage. Shovach, he donated a dove coat. And afterwards it gets filled with doves. Ilan, he donates a tree. And then the fruit grows on it. Sadeh, donates a field. And then afterwards the vegetation grows on it. Moelim bahem, the primary objects, you are moel in them. Ve'ein moelim b'ma'ashe b'tocho. But what is found within it, you are not moel, because they came after the fact. And the belief here is, according to the Tanakhama, that gidulei hekdesh, things that are derivatives of hekdesh, things that grow from hekdesh, do not have a din like the primary hekdesh. The perot are not like the ilan. The ilan is kodesh, but the perot themselves are not kodesh. The same thing with the bor malemayim, of course, and the shovach malayonim. He donated the primary object. The objects that come afterwards do not automatically become the possession of Hekdesh. And that is, as Tosfot points out, normally when a person has an object like a dove coat or a field and something lands in there, they are kone it if it lands from Hefker, because their chatzer is kone on their behalf. Their courtyard can carry out a kinyan on their behalf. But that usually works through yad. Chatzer mishum yad, as Tosfot points out. And since chatzer is mishum yad, it's an extension of the balabayit. Hekdesh does not have a yad. Hekdesh does not have this extension or this arm that can act on its behalf, and therefore the chatzer of Hekdesh is not kone on its behalf. So in all these instances, the field, the boar, even though items that fell in them were hefker, Hekdesh is not automatically kone those items, because Hekdesh doesn't have that ability to be kone like a hedjot does. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Amakdishat Asadeva Ilan Moalin Behen Ubigidu Lehen. So Rabbi Yossi disagrees with at least two of these items, and that's Saden Ilan. By Saden Ilan, where the growth is a direct derivative and outgrowth of the object itself, over there he disagrees and says gidulei hekdesh are kodesh. He will agree by the boar and by the ashpa, where the objects are separate from the item containing them, that there is no din of hekdesh on the items that fall in there. But where cases of a saden ilan, where the perot are derivatives and direct derivatives of the goof of the object, over there molin behen ubigidulehem mipnenshi gidulei hekdesh. And gidulei hekdesh have a din like hekdesh. Now the next line in the Mishnah is very difficult. There are three different ways to learn the next piece of the Mishnah, and that is Vladamu Useret. Talking about a child, a baby, from an animal that had Maser taken from it. Lo yinok mina musarot. It should not nurse from those that have Maser taken from them. Vacharim mitnadvim kain. But others donated in such, donate such animals. So now, Rashi explains this to me, a case where you have a female, a mother, who is put in as one of the 10 for Maaser Behema. And then when she's put in as one of the 10 for Maaser Behema, it turns out that she is the one, the 10th one, and becomes the Maaser Behema. And being the Maaser Behema, she's now Kadosh. She has a child that was born before she went into the corral for Maaser Behema. That child is Chulin. So now the child that is Chulin cannot nurse from the mother that is now Kodesh with Maaser Behema. So therefore the child, and that's what the first line of the Mishnah says, that Lo Yinok, he may not nurse. On the other hand, what's the next line? The Mishnah says, "Va'cherim mitnadvim kain." Rashi explains that others make a tenai, an upfront condition. The upfront condition is that when they make this kadosh b'maiser b'hema, they're not makdish the milk. They're going to leave the ability for this child to nurse from this a mother who is now maaser b'hema. Now Rashi says, why are they called acherim? Zahachikar le'acherim she'in machmirim aleim kara'oi. They don't act properly with this hekdesh over here. So it's not the proper way to be, but that's how they do it. They do it by leaving some residual in the animal to allow her to nurse the baby. That's the way Rashi explains the case over here. Tosafot brings two other explanations. One of them is an explanation of the Rambam, which then he rejects, and then he gives a third interpretation over here. The first interpretation is that he agrees with Rashi that we're talking about a mother that was Maser, that had a child before and that was Kulin, and we say that the child cannot nurse from the mother that is Maser Beima. But then he disagrees with the next line, which is V'acherim mitnadvim kein. V'acherim mitnadvim kein, he says, not that they make a t'nai, because it's the wrong lashon. Then it should V'acherim mitnaim kein, that they make a t'nai. What does it mean, mitnadvim? It means they donate. So wealthy people donate their animals to nurse this baby. So this baby does not nurse from Maser Behema, but rather others or wealthy people donate their animals in order to allow this baby to nurse, that is, Chulin, and takes care of it. Tosfot doesn't like this for a number of reasons, one of which is that the Hekdesh gets nothing out of this. There's no benefit to this for Hekdesh. I mean, what does it mean, mitnadvim, that they donate? They're not donating anything to Hekdesh. They're actually donating it to this person whose baby or whose animal it is. Hekdesh gets the Maaser Behema. The animal that needs to nurse is Chulin. So now when they donate animals to nurse this baby, they're donating animals to nurse a Chulin baby that has nothing to do with the Mikdash. So therefore they reject this answer, and they give a third answer, and they say that actually this is an animal, a mother that was Maser Beima, that gave birth after she was already Maser Beima. So she's Maser Beima, the child is a derivative of Vlad of the Maser Beima. Nevertheless, they may not, this baby may not nurse from the mother, even though it's the derivative of Ekdesh, she was born while it was Ekdesh, still it cannot nurse from the mother, because the Chalav is Asur, to get Hana from it. So what do they do? Acharim mitnadvim came. Others donate, like the interpretation we said before, others donate their animals in order to nurse this baby. Now you have a benefit to Ekdesh, because this derivative, this Vlad Maser, belongs to Ekdesh. And as in belonging to Ekdesh, these people donate the animals in order to nurse that animal. That's the explanation of this Mishnah. So they three different interpretations about what the Mishnah is speaking about. First one, Rashi is saying that we're talking about the Maser Beima, a mother that has a baby that is Chulin, and you want the ability for the mother to nurse the baby, so therefore, the people made a t'nai when they made the Maser Beima Kadosh, that they left out the milk so that the baby could nurse. Tosafot's first answer, which is akin to what the Rambam says, is that it is the same case of Maser Beima by the mother and the baby is chulin, but other people donate their animals to nurse this baby. The third possibility is Tosafot, who says that the mother is Maser Beima and the child is also Kodesh, and it cannot nurse from the mother because of the Gzerat HaKetuv that we'll learn. On the other hand, they have mitnadvim. We have people who donate their animals in order to nurse this baby for the benefit of Hekdesh. Now, the same thing is written by Kodesh, which is Vlad HaMukdashim, Lo Yinok Min HaMukdashim. A derivative, a baby that is born from Mukdashim should not nurse from Mukdashim. Again, the explanation that we gave by Maiser Beima will be the same over here. V'acharim mitnadvim kein, and others donate such or make such a t'nai. Now, next thing, Polim lo yochlu min ha-grugrot. Polim, workers who are entitled to eat from when they work, whether they're working by mechubar, by foods, or whether they're working by talush, before the process of gemar malacha that brings them into the chiyuv of chumot and masrot, at that point, any worker in the field can eat from the fruits that he is working with. But that's only true when we're talking about chulin, when we're talking about a regular person's field. But when they're working from Ekdesh, or working for Ekdesh, they do not have that entitlement. Chayim para. A para, an animal that works in the fields of Ekdesh, generally, if it was a field of chulin, we would say, lo tachshom shor bidisho, that when the shor is working, it's entitled to eat while it's working. Over here, that's not true. By Ekdesh, we say also, v'chein para, mikashnei Ekdesh. A para may not eat or consume the kashnei Ekdesh while it is working in the field of Ekdesh. So what is normally a right of a worker or an animal to partake of the items that he's working with, that right is suspended when it comes to Ekdesh, and the Gemara will discuss why that is. Tani. Vlada Me'useret, Lo Yinok Min HaMu'useret, says that the offspring of Mu'useret should not nurse from a Me'useret. Minayin Emile, where do we know this from? So Amar Rabba Chadvai Bar Ami Atche Havara Havara Mi Bechor, the Gzer Shova Havara Havara from Bechor, Ma Bechor Mo'alim Bo Av Chalav HaMu'useret Mo'alim Bo. Just like by the Bechor, you are Mo'el in it, so to the milk of a Mu'useret, you're Mo'el in it. Chalav hamukdashin, when it comes to chalav mukdashin, nami, achi imo, imo mi bechor, we have a gzera shava from bechor. First of all, let's understand the gzera shava. The gzera shava is based on something that we've seen a number of times before in Bechorot, which is that it says, vavata kol peter rechem, that is havara, that is mentioned by the bechor, and then it says, by maiser beima, kol asher yavor tachad hashevet. Anything that passes under the staff to be counted for maiser beima. So you have havara, havara, brings us a gzera shava between maser beima and bechor. Bechor only comes from a firstborn male animal. So since the male doesn't have any milk, doesn't have any derivatives because it's a male, so it doesn't have chalav. The entirety of the animal is Ekdesh and Shayach to Ekdesh. So therefore we're going to take that we know by Bechor and apply it to Maser Beima. So just like by Bechor, nothing is left out that you can get anah from, so too by Maser Beima, it'll be the same. So the chalav of the Maser Beima, which could be a female, will also have a problem of Me'ila. And the same thing we'll learn from Bechor to Ekdesh, Imo, and Imo. It says, Shivat Yamim Te'ir Tachat Imo. That is said by the Bechor. It's also said by Mukdashim in general, that it stays 7 days with mother. It's only Ra'oi to go on the Mizbeach on the 8th day. And therefore we have a Gzer Shava of Imo, Imo. And therefore we'll learn, like, just like Bechor, everything goes to Ekdesh, there's nothing left out. So too by Mukdashim, even if they're not males or they have Chalav, they're not going to be left out of the din, and they will have a din of Mi'ilah. That's Rashi's explanation of the Gemara over here. Tosafot's questions, which have him reject this understanding of Rashi, is, first of all, why do we have a limud here from Bechor to Maiser Beima, Bechor to Mukdashim? Why don't we just learn it out from Psulei HaMukdashim? Psulei HaMukdashim are animals that got a mum in it, and afterward it says, V'chalto basar, you're allowed to eat the meat from those Mukdashim, v'lo chalav, and not the milk. Well, if you have a Psulei HaMukdashim, you're not allowed to have the milk, then certainly by Kodesh, you're not allowed to have the milk. Why do I need these special limudim all of a sudden when I could have learned it out from Psulei HaMukdashim. So he says, first of all, the reason we need these psukim over here is the only reason we know that by Psulei HaMukdashim the chalav is asur is because we know we have basar, you like to eat the meat, and then it comes to exclude something. We don't know what that something is. Once we know that chalav is asur from the gzeir shev over here, that's when it tells us basar velo chalav. The reason that we exclude the chalav in Psulei HaMukdashim is only because we know that there's a problem with chalav in Mukdashim in general. That's number one. Tosafot secondly says, it's obvious that a behemat chulin can't nurse from a behemat mukdashim. What's the question over here? What do you need a pasuk for to teach you that? It's obvious. So that can't be the case. And that's what leads Tosafot to explain that our Gemara is talking about a case of mukdashim and mukdashim. It's an animal. It's a baby born to something that is already hekdesh. And that's the chiddush over here. This is not something we've learned somewhere else. It's not something we can learn out of psulim mukdashim. But rather, it's a special din that even though the mother is hekdesh, the baby or the offspring may not nurse from that mother, even though it's also hekdesh and it's a derivative of hekdesh. And that's what these psukim come to teach us. Now, polim lo yachlu, my taima. What's the reason? Question now is what the Gemara is after here. What does that mean, my taima? Rashi says, my taima, by an animal, are you allowed to muzzle it in a field of hekdesh? He says, by a poel, by a worker, I know that for sure, because it says, ki tavo bekerem reacha. Now, when you go into your friend's vineyard to work for him, v'achalto, you're entitled to eat. So there it says, Re'acha, v'lo shel hekdesh. Your friend's field, but not of hekdesh. He says, the Gemara knows for sure, by the case of the poel, that I don't need a pasuk to teach me that. So all the Gemara's after over here is the pasuk for Be'ima. And that's what the Gemara's question is. On the other hand, Tosafot says, my time all, the Gemara wants to know, how come a poel does not get to eat from the field of hekdesh? It's asking that first question, not about why can you muzzle a shor? So now the answer of the Gemara is, my time, I'm a Rav Achzubai Barami, the Makra, lo taksom shor bidisho. You're not allowed to muzzle a shor when it's in its threshing. Disho shelcha, velo disho shel hekdesh. Your threshing is where the shor cannot be muzzled. But someone else's threshing, meaning that of hekdesh, that is where the shor could be muzzled. You may not muzzle a shor in a place bidisho, where the dash, where that which he threshes is relevant to him, or that he can consume it. But if he's threshing in a place where that which is there doesn't belong to him, for instance, it's hekdesh, or he couldn't consume it because it's hekdesh, there over there, there's no restriction of lo tachsom shor b'disho, because it's not disho shelcha, it's the disho shel hekdesh. So Rashi says, that teaches us the din by the animal, why you're allowed to muzzle it in a field of hekdesh. We already know from the posuk about the poel, now I know about the behemah. But then Tosafot says, the Gemara went to shor b'disho to teach us about the din of the muzzling. And from there, we'll know about the poel, because it says, itkish poel l'shor. There's a hekesh between a worker and a shor. And that hekesh will teach us, just like by shor, there's no din or restriction of muzzling by hekdesh, so too by the poel, there's no din that he may eat or consume that which he works with. So Tosafot says this is an answer to both of the questions. Why is it that a poel and a shor do not have the normal rights or entitlements that they get by chulin? And that's because of this lo tachsom shor b'disho. Other than Rashi says, the reason the poel doesn't have that right is because it says re'acha by his, and that's an exclusion for hekdesh. Lo tachsom shor b'disho, but disho shelcha is an exclusion for the animal with regards to hekdesh, but that has nothing to do with the poel. Then we have a statement here in the Gemara, dash kili ilim basadeh, someone who threshes legumes in the field of hekdesh, ma'al, he has performed mi'ila on the field of hekdesh. Va'abetalush be'inan, wait a minute, a field is something that is mechubar lekarka, and we said before mechubar lekarka doesn't have a din of mi'ila. So it doesn't have a din of mi'ila, then why do you have a problem here if he's threshing the legumes in the floor? Samarvina, shramina, abaka malilo. That the dust that comes up or is kicked up during the threshing process for legumes is actually beneficial to it. So the reason that you're moel is because you're benefiting from that dust that is separating from the ground, not because you're getting benefit from the field itself. Next Mishnah, shorshei ilan shel hedyot, the roots of a tree that was of a hedyot, a bayim shel hekdesh, the roots extend from the hedyot's property into hekdesh's property, mishel hekdesh, and a tree of hekdesh, bayim shel hedyot, the roots of the tree enter into the property of the hedyot, lo ne'anin velo ma'alin. Over there, you're not allowed to get enough from them, but there is no mi'ilah. Now, in the case of the reisha, we're talking about the shorshei ilan shel hedyot, talking about the tree of a hedyot that's within 16 amot of the field of hekdesh. The first 16 amot of the roots are considered connected to the tree and belonging to the tree. Therefore, since the tree is found in the hedyot's property, the roots are drawn after it, and the roots are technically that of a hedyot. But just say lo nani lo malim because they are found in the field of hekdesh. On the other hand, if it was more than 16 amot away from the field of hekdesh, then when the tree is in the field of hedyot, the roots that it needs are in its field itself, and anything that's beyond the 16 amot that's in the field of hekdesh actually belongs to hekdesh, and therefore there will be a din of full mi'ilah on that. The opposite is true by the tree of hekdesh. The tree of hekdesh, if it's within 16 amot of the hedyot's property, then the roots have a din of full mi'ilah, because they belong to the tree itself of hekdesh, And if you use them or utilize them, then you'll have a din of mi'ilah. Case here is a case where it's in Ekdesh, and it's more than 16 amot away from the Hedyot's property. Therefore, the roots beyond the 16 amot are really don't belong to the tree. Since in the field of a Hedyot, we say there's no din of mi'ilah, but still ain't any man because they derive from a tree that is Ekdesh. Mayanji yotze mitoch sadesh al Ekdesh, lo nanin velo mo'alin. Spring that comes through a field of Ekdesh, there's no din of direct meal on it, but there's still Nisar Ana'ah. Rashi claims that the case here is a case where you have a Mayan in a regular field, a Chulin field, that the channel from that Mayan flows through the field of Ekdesh and then exits out the other side. So before it enters the field of Ekdesh, it's Chulin. After it exits the field of Ekdesh, it's also Chulin. But while it's in the field of Ekdesh, there's no din of Mi'ilah because it really is not the Ekdesh's Mayan, but nevertheless, while it's in the field of the Ekdesh, lo nenin, we can't get enough from it. On the other hand, there are others that believe that the Mayan is actually in the field of Ekdesh. The person was Makdish the field and not the Mayan. So since he wasn't Makdish the Mayan, it doesn't have a din of Mi'ilah. Nevertheless, since the water is in the field of Ekdesh, we say, lo nenin velo mo'alin. Yatzah chutz l'sadeh. If it exits the field of Ekdesh, nenin minu'enu, then it becomes kulin, and you can get hana from it. Hamayim shebekad shel zahav. Here we're talking about the nusach hamayim that is done in the Mikdash. On a case where it turns out that it's going to be on Shabbos, and they can't draw the water the next day on Shabbos, they actually draw it the night before Shabbos, and they put it into a golden pitcher. That golden pitcher is not mikudash, because otherwise you'll be posel the mayim with lina. They keep it in that, and then they eventually pour it into a kli shel zahav that actually is a kli sharet in order to be mikadesh the next day on Shabbat. So while it's in this staging kli of zahav, lo nenin velo malin, it's not hekdesh yet, because it's not in a kli sharet. On the other hand, it's designated for hekdesh, therefore lo nenin mimenu. If you put it into the actual container where they're going to do the nisuch hamayim for them, which is a kli sharet, then molin ban, because now they're nitkadesh bigufo, and they become full-fledged kodshei Hashem, and they will be a din of mi'ilah, arava. They're a vote that they used for being mekif the mizbeach on the seventh day of Sukkot. Lo ne'anim v'lo ma'anim. When they're picked, you cannot get an awe from them, but there's no din of mi'ilah, because they're not kodosh bigufo. Because Rabbi Tzadok Gomer, no'agim ayu azkinim sh'ne'anim imenem be'lulebehem. They used to use these aravot in their lulavehem before they were used for the hekef mizbeach. And that's because they believe mitzvot, lav le'enot nidnu, the mitzvah of lulav. There's no din of hana when it comes to mitzvot, therefore there's no restriction from using these aravot in their lulavim before they're used for the avodah in the mikdash. Amar Reish Lakish, ein mo'alin bikulan, avo mo'alin shlosh lugim. You're not a mo'el in all the water, except for the three lugim. The Gemara's havamina now is that we're talking about the reish of the Mishnah here, the reish of the Mishnah where you fill up the golden kli, that is not mikudash, is not a kli sharet. So only problem with mi'ilah with the first three lugim. Whatever's in excess of that, that's where we say lo nenin v'lo mo'alin. That's our havamin over here. But the core three lugim, which you're going to use in nisach hamayim, sounds like from Reish Lakish that has a full-fledged din of mi'ilah. Where it says that doesn't make sense. Because it says, v'aktani seifa, not nubitz tochit mo'alin ban. Only when you put them into the kli sharet do they have a din of mi'ilah, michlal. From that you can infer the reisha, filu shlosha lugim nami. By the ratio, there's nothing that has a din in mi'ilah, even with the core three lugim. Ela, itmar, a seifa, itmar. If you're going to say Reish Lakish statements on the seifa, which is that once you pour it from the staging kli into the kli sharet, then mo'alin behan is only by the first three log, because there's a shir to nisuch hamayim. Shir of nisuch hamayim is three log, and those three log will be a problem with mi'ilah. Whatever's in excess of that does not have a din in mi'ilah. It's lo nenin velo mo'alin. So he's modifying or qualifying the seifa statement that there's a din in mi'ilah when you put it into kli sharet. That's only true for the first three lugin. So now the Gemara says, "Amar Reish Lakish, Shem Olin El Begin Lugin," and this says Reish Lakish the Shito To that there is a shear of Nisuch Hamayim of three lug. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Olin Bekulan. Yochanan says that there isn't a shear for Nisuch Hamayim, and therefore it's unlimited. The Meila will apply to whatever water is put into the Kli Sharet. Lememra, you would conclude from this that Kasav Reish Lakish is shear the Mayim. That's the clear conclusion from this that Reish Lakish believes that there is a cap on Nisuch Hamayim of three lug. That's none. And don't we have a Mishnah that says Amar Rav Lazar Menasek Mechag Bechag Bechutz? Someone who does water libations outside of the Mikdash on Sukkot is Chayav. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Menachem Yudpa. Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Menachem Yudpa, Rashi says, Min Yudpa, Menachem from Yudpa, Rabbi Lazar B'shita Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Akiva, Damar, the Dorish Nisacheha. So it says Nisacheha instead of Niska, and it does the plural, it comes to make a Hekesh. Echad Nisuch Hamayim V'echad Nisuch Hayayin. It says there's a plurality of Nisuchim. One is a nisuch hamayim and a nisuch yayin, so there's a hekesh between them. So just like your chayav b'chutz for nisuch yayin, that you do b'chutz, so too your chayav b'chutz for nisuch hamayim. V'amar Reish Lakish, Rashi comes and says, well, if you want to make that hekesh, you should take it to its fullest extent. Imayayin shalosh lugim, just like yayin is three lug, af mayim shalosh lugim, then water should also have a cap of three lugim. The nisuch hayayin, the smallest of the nisuch hayayin, and that which is used over here, is revitahin. Revitahin is three lugim. So three lugin is the number for nisuch hayayin, and that is what you'll be chayav for b'chutz. So too by mayim, you should have that same standard of three lugim. Michlau, the sar Reish Lakish ain't sure the mayim. The fact that Reish Lakish is posing it as a question to Rabbi Yochanan, as if, how could you say this? Because then you'll have a cap of three lugim. Sounds like Reish Lakish doesn't think there's a cap of three lugim. So Mar says, no. The time of the Menachem Yud Pak, Amar. Same, Reish Lakish says, I think there is a cap of three lugim. I'm just trying to understand. According to you, Menachem Yud Pak, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, who thinks there isn't a shir lamayim, if you really think that the limud here is a hekesh between nisuch hayayin and nisuch hamayim, then there should be a cap of three lugim. And that's where Reish Lakish is posing the question, leshita tam. According to his shita, he thinks there is a lug and three cap of three lugim, and that's what he's saying here in our Gemara. On the other hand, he's also asking according to them, who thinks that Rabbi Elazar is b'shita Rabbi Akiva, then if you make such a hekesh, you should also have the same din, which is yayin is three lug, so too mayim should be three lug. Okay, we'll stop over here.